Fred, did we decide we were on page 11? Well, let's start at James, all right? Oh, my. Church, when Brother Thomas was here, the first night that he was here on a Friday night, he spoke to the men and he challenged us about our spiritual capacity. What is going on back there? We're pointing fingers and, yeah. I'm not even, you guys just have your own little party back there. I'm going to go ahead and teach tonight, okay? But Brother Thomas was, he spoke on spiritual capacity. How much of the Spirit of God can we carry within us? And how do we get that to happen? How do we enhance our spiritual capacity? Well, the long and short of it is that we have to spend time in His presence. We have to spend time in His Word. We have to spend time in prayer. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but I believe with all of my heart tonight that what took place in this house this morning was absolutely a direct result of the prayers of God's people. If nothing else, a group of men that I challenged on Friday to spend time deliberately, on purpose, in God's presence, challenged them to pray and ask God for whatever it was that they wanted to ask God for. And God showed up in this house this morning. Now, I got to tell you that prior to that, there was warfare. There was battles. It came at a price. It came at a cost. But you can't have a victory without a battle. You cannot have a victory without a battle. Tonight, when I first got here, Fred said, "Pastor, I want you to come and read this article." And so I was reading the article, and it was about some Olympians that were running, and the one guy that was considerably in the lead. I mean, it was undisputable. He was in the lead. Then before he crossed the finish line, he stopped. Because he got disoriented and he didn't understand. He didn't know. He lost the orientation of where the finish line was. And the runner that was behind him, instead of just running past him and claiming the victory that really wasn't his, took this runner and pushed him ahead of him across the finish line. And a reporter saw that, and a reporter was going crazy. And the reporter's like, "What in the world is wrong with you? Why did you do that? Why did you give up that victory? Why didn't you take that victory?" And he said this, and it's powerful. He said, "The victory was never mine. It was clearly his victory." And church, it's those kinds of things that make us who we are. When we push somebody else across the finish line ahead of ourselves. When we stop and take the time to be a blessing to somebody and to help somebody out. Those are the things that are going to get the attention of the Lord. It's those kinds of acts of kindness that God is going to look down on His people and begin to smile at the love and the compassion of us, His people. And when James wrote that the prayers of the righteous are effectual, he meant that both a person who's been made righteous by faith in Christ and one who is living a righteous and God-fearing and obedient life like the prophet Elijah. Listen, church, I believe with all of my heart that what we saw take place this morning is just the tip of the iceberg, is just an appetizer, if I can say that, an appetizer of the things to come. And if we as God's people will sacrifice some of our time, spend some on purpose time. A lot of times when we pray, we pray to fill a gap of just some time that we have. What about some on purpose time? Before I start my day, before I maybe even get out of bed, begin to communicate with God and begin to spend some quality time with God. Not rushed, not with a million thoughts already running through my mind. God, I just want to give You this time. I just want to ask You, Lord, for Your presence in my life today. God, I just want to come before You and ask You to just walk with me through every trial and every bit of tribulation, every joy in this day, every moment of happiness in this day. God, I just want You to walk with me through those moments. James chapter 5, 16 through 18, it says that we're to confess our trespasses. Another word for trespasses is sin. We confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. That the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced its fruit. See, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results because the person who is praying is righteous. Now, what does that word righteous mean? It's your position in Christ. Your right standing in Christ. The person is not sinless, but he or she has confessed known sins to God and is completely committed to Him, and they're doing everything that they can to try and do and perform the will of God in their life. You'll never know what the will of God is for your life if, number one, you don't spend time with God in prayer, and number two, if you don't spend time with God in His Word. Those are aside from the Holy Spirit or God coming and just speaking directly to you, this is what I want you to do, Daryl. Walk this way, do this, do that. Outside of that, unless you spend time in prayer and in God's Word, you're not going to know what God wants. It doesn't come by osmosis. It comes from diligence and time spent in God's Word. Again, we can say that the righteous people get what they want in prayer because they want what God wants. When you begin to draw close to God, you're going to begin to want the very things that God wants. That's what I want. I want what God wants. I not only want what God wants for my life, I want what God wants for your life. And I want God for what God wants in your life, Dennis. I want that. For your life, Ray. For your life, Ray. That should be our desire. I want what God wants. The Christian's most powerful resource is communication with God through prayer. That is your most powerful resource. It is the instrument of healing and forgiveness. And church, let me just add on to what I was saying this morning. If we are not willing to forgive, if we are not willing to rectify problems between one or and another, we are never going to advance in the kingdom. We are going to always be plagued by problems in our life, by troubles in our life. It's because God's not trying to punish us. God's trying to provoke us to come to a place where of surrender, of total surrender. And the reality is that the results, when we line up with God, when we get our lives straightened out, when we get forgiveness flowing freely through us, when forgiveness becomes instead of a hindrance but a mighty weapon for spiritual warfare, the results, because of all of that, are often going to be far greater than we ever thought possible. Some folks see prayer as a last resort, to be tried when all else has failed. Our priorities are the reverse of God's. Prayer should come first. We should pray and ask God to heal, just like we have here tonight. God's pleased to use our prayers to accomplish His purpose, and He delights in answering our needs. But He is never bound, listen, He's never bound by our prayers. He's not bound by our prayers. God's power is infinitely greater than ours. And so it only makes sense for us to rely on it, especially because that's exactly what God is encouraging us to do. Prayer is indeed powerful. If you remember the prophet Elijah, he had great power in prayer, and a drought came, and as the evil king Ahab of Israel, that the idol Baal did not have power over the rain. God had that power. And when Elijah prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for the next 3.5 years. And then he prayed for rain, and guess what? It rained. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Listen, that guy knew that it was going to rain, and he was so fast, he outrun a horse. If you don't believe me, just read the story. It's there. He girded up his loins, the Bible said, and he took off running, man. He knew it was coming. He prayed for rain, and it poured and poured. And God made clear that Moses' prayers on behalf of the Israelites were effective because of his obedient relationship with the Lord and his loyalty to Him. Exodus 33:17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. How would you like to just be walking down the road and you sense this presence around you, and the Lord says to you, how you doing, Tommy? And you're looking around like, what in the world? How you doing, Mikey? He'd probably call you Mikey. Settle down. If we'll listen for the still small voice of the Lord, He will speak to us. I know you by name. Conversely, the psalmist claims that if we cherish sin in our life, the Lord will not hear our prayer. Listen to that again. The psalmist proclaims that if we cherish sin, if we hold sin, if we know in our mind and our heart that we have bitterness against this one, if we have this sin that we're holding on to, I have this little secret thing, if we hold on to those things, if we cherish those sins in our life, the Bible says that the Lord will not hear our prayers. We can pray all we want, scream, shout, jump. It doesn't matter. He's not going to hear. He calls us to set some things straight. And in James chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. It goes to motive. What is the motive of our prayer? I established that early on. Because I want what God wants. We should want what God wants. Almost as bad as not asking is asking wrong. Asking with wrong motives. Asking with wrong desire. If we misunderstand the correct use of prayer, we might not pray at all, or we might attempt to manipulate God. Pardon me? Yeah. But we try it. We do. How many of you have ever made deals with God? Oh, God, if you'll do this, I'll... Yeah. Later on, James makes it clear that when we pray, we must humble ourselves before God. Otherwise, we will not be answered. And people should not be surprised when their prayers go unanswered, off because often the motive, the whole motive is wrong. What is the motive behind what my prayer is? It's this sort of attitude that was the main reason why the Lord turned His ear away from the prayers of the idolatrous and the wicked Israelites. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me, and I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. That's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to make ourselves clean, put away evil, all that stuff. This disgusting thing, the disgusting thing about this rebellious people is that they were also a religious people. They were a religious people. They attended the temple services and brought a multitude of sacrifices to the Lord. But their hearts were far from God, and their worship was hypocritical. It was hypocritical. So before passing judgment on worshipers in a bygone era, maybe, just maybe, we should confess the sins of the worshiping church today. According to researcher George Barna, 93% of the households in the United States contain a Bible, and more than 60% of the people surveyed claim to be religious, but we would never know it from the way people act. Every week, according to another statistic, 40% of pastors that step into the pulpit on any given Sunday, 40% of them are looking for a way out, contemplating walking out of the ministry. 40%. One Protestant church, according to the statistics, exists for every 550 adults in America. But does all this religion make a difference in this sinful society? Apparently not. Church, that is exactly why, in my opinion, God is doing the work that He's doing in this congregation. It's why messages like this morning that are there. It could be taken as hard, that message. But listen, it's not because God is wanting to be mean to anybody. God has love for every one of us. But let me tell you something. God is calling His people to a place of righteousness and holiness before God. He's calling every one of us to be about the Father's business. He's calling every one of us to line ourselves up with the Holy Ghost of God, with the mandates that God has sent. And if God's people repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord promises to again turn His ear towards us, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And it starts Listen, the Bible says that righteousness begins in the house of the Lord. And until we clean out our own individual closets, until we begin to walk in unity, until we can begin to embrace even those that maybe we have some trouble with in the past, we ask, God, give me a love for these people. God, give me a love for this person. I know that sometimes, God, we don't get along maybe. We don't see eye to eye. But God, give me a love for that person. God, help me to be a bridge over troubled water. God, help this church to walk in a place of unity and love. Whatever it may be that you're harboring, whoever, any of, I mean, like I said, from the pulpit to the parking lot, anything in our life, church, that God wouldn't be pleased with, we need to deal with those things. As hard as it may be, as uncomfortable as it may be, may I remind each one of us tonight that God's Word says that He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's coming back for us, church. We got to get in the cleansing room of God. We've got to begin to lay some things out and say, God, help me. Help me. Father, I thank You for this night. I want to ask You tonight, just if you feel led, would You just come and gather around these altars and just begin to say unto God, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. If there's any wicked way in me, God, reveal it to me. Help me to know what that is, that I can deal with it. Because sometimes, folks, in our life, we get so accustomed to the sin that we have in our life that we don't even recognize it anymore as sin. But unto God, it's sin. So tonight, I want